Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is an expert on today's topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of thinking like a multifamily owner. And joining me in the studio is John Ridgway, owner and president of Celtic Realty Advisors. Welcome, John.
Thank you for having me.
So you are an expert because you own and have owned properties. You think like a multifamily owner. And prior to owning properties, when you were on the management side solely, you had to think like an owner. Let's talk a little bit about that, why that's important. And first, let's kind of talk about the difference between the types of companies, the management companies that are out there, whether it's an owner-managed company or a fee-managed company, and what those differences are as far as when it comes to thinking like an owner.
One of the things that I realized in my career as I look back over 30-plus years are the different types of companies that you just described. When you're working for an owner management company, the goals are usually the same for all of the assets, and the expectations can be driven and managed through the company culture from the top down. They look for consistency in performance, consistency in operations, utilize the same chart of accounts. They can measure the same operating metrics, whether it's on the revenue side of rent, concessions, things like that, down through the operating expenses. And because they have a uniform chart of accounts, because they have uniform expectations, everybody's on the same page in that type of organization. It gets a little different when you move into the fee management companies, because in those scenarios, we have different owners. They might have different chart of accounts. They might even be on a different software system. And so you might see service providers, you know, property management companies that are servicing clients on different software. And so it becomes much more difficult to create that a standard culture, because every client that these third-party management companies have are looking at things differently and even potentially in a different way.
So when you think of a owner management company, for instance, like Camden, the folks at the top of the organization have the opportunity to create a company culture that can then permeate down throughout the entire company, all the way down to the maintenance tech on a specific property, to be able to run that property, set goals and objectives, and it's consistent from property to property and from employee to employee. On a fee management side, for instance, in your career, you've managed properties for different owners. How many different owners at one time or different owner entities have you been involved with at one time that would be difficult to possibly juggle all those different goals and objectives?
During my career, I've had large portfolios that were the same owner so that we were able to have some consistencies in that arena. But there were at times as a regional vice president where we were dealing with 20 different clients, and at times across a couple of different software mm-hmm. platforms. They would dictate a particular software. And so it becomes, we lost out on the economies of scale,
right?
Meaning it was every deal was somewhat on its own. And so we had to look at everything on its own through the chart, you know, through a specific chart of accounts, even different software, where we did make an effort as a management company to consistently provide training and operations like to the maintenance people, mm-hmm. So that they would conduct their business in a consistent manner that we could measure ourselves, but it's not nearly as clean and efficient as an owner-managed environment.
So when you're in a fee-managed situation and you're dealing with the client directly, you know, in a position like a regional vice president or possibly even a regional manager, you get the opportunity to work with the client or the representative of the client to be able to set goals and come up with what's going to be happening for the, you know, I imagine a lot of this happens around budget time too. How much do they generally lean on you and your expertise as far as the management company to be able to, and I guess every situation's different, but what have you found has been the norm as far as that?
Well, I do think that property owners that do not manage their own assets look to the property management company to provide their market expertise, their market experience, whether it is achieving certain rents, creating certain operating efficiencies. A lot of times with the larger management companies, one of the value that we brought to the table was purchasing power. Mm-hmm. When you're a large management company and you have relationships with the with suppliers, we could a lot of times get a better deal, you know, cheaper supplies than the other owners could individually.
Yeah, and so you have an opportunity to talk with that owner. Your discussions, I would imagine, sometimes after you shop your comps, talk about are concessions required in that particular market or submarket. Nobody likes to talk about concessions or to implement concessions, but at some situations, it's warranted, I guess. So how do you have those types of conversations with an owner?
A lot of times those conversations are very difficult, but if you are in the fee management business as a trusted service provider and advisor, it's necessary to be truthful about those conversations. I will tell you one of the difficulties in that, especially if an owner is shopping property management services, the natural tendency is to listen to the person that's closest to the owner's own version of what can be achieved.
Right.
And so what we see is there's a fine line in property management of being brutally honest with the owner, and you know, particularly around rents, you know, what rents are achievable in a particular submarket, and you know, their pro forma, meaning, you know, they've probably forecasted a very aggressive pro forma. They're saying, hey, we can increase the rents, that's why I'm buying this deal. And it's important for the managers to make sure that they can actually hit the pro forma that the owner is wanting to hit. I had a client, this was many years ago, that I actually, they dictated what the rents were. And in our conversations, I don't believe these are realistic. I had statistical data to back that up. I had submarket data to back that up. And they were insistent. It was an institutional fund. And I actually asked the asset manager, I sent him an email and I said, please print this off, sign it, and return it to me. Mm-hmm. And he was reluctant at first, but we had a good relationship. And I said, you know why I want this signed, because I've told you I don't think it's achievable. And so sometimes you have to have those conversations.
Right.
They could have moved on to another property management company that would have told them, sure, I can reach those goals.
Yeah. And it is difficult, I'm assuming, to have that conversation because they're your client and they're paying the bills, you know, for whatever portion of the business that they take up.
No, and you are spot on. I mean, the reality is that property management is a service company in this third party environment. And I like to use the analogy that as property managers, we are just like the landscaper. Mm-hmm. You know, we most of us have a 30-day notice. I think we obviously bring in a higher level of service, but it's a similar relationship. And so it does become challenging at times to tell the client what they need to be told versus, that fear of, well, they can go out and find somebody else to provide the same service.
Right. And it's interesting because when I think about a property management company being a service company, I'm thinking in the terms of the service to the resident, but they also have to serve their client, which is the owner too. So a property management, third-party property management company has to be very good at service from both sides of the table. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of thinking like a multifamily owner. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is John Ridgway, owner and president of Celtic Realty Advisors. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any episode of Multifamily Matters, you can go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. John, since we're talking about thinking like an owner, third party or fee managed company, how do you train and what are the important things to train your teams that they need to know to be able to think like an owner? What are those elements that you think are important to emphasize?
When I was operating in a third party management environment, the teams spent as much focus on the expense side of the equation of property operations, maybe even more so than the revenue side. And, I became a property owner in very early 2009, and it was quite an eye-opener for me when I made that transition. And to even having been in this business for, at that time, 30 plus years, I realized there were so many things that I didn't know that I didn't know.
Right.
And so it was really quite an eye opener. And so going back to your question, when an owner purchases a property, what they're really looking at is either a cash flow scenario, meaning we're going to take money out of this on a monthly basis. It's, income minus expenses, there's still money left over. When I purchased in 2009, there was quite a bit of what we called value add opportunities, mm-hmm. distressed properties that could be bought on the cheap and then repositioned, and was very successful at that. Somebody that's buying today is going to be more on the what I call the yield play, meaning it's probably going to be for cash flow, and it's probably going to be for very little cash flow. Owners today tend to be overpaying for the real estate, for the asset, just for the opportunity. And so the margins are going to be very thin. And so managers need to have a clear understanding of what the owner's expectations are when they buy the property. Are the current market rents under market? Are the current residents paying less than what the market rent is? So is there a loss to lease scenario? Is there bad debt? And so when you look at rental income and you have market rent minus loss to lease, minus vacancy, minus bad debt, minus the concessions you were talking about earlier, minus office model, et cetera. Each one of those is a reduction to the income, and they all have the same impact on the bottom line. The reality is, though, is that the impact on the property to each one of those is very different, and the solution to solving that is also very different. So have a clear understanding of where the owner sees the opportunity to increase the the revenue side of it, whether it's have a plan. Hey, the average tenant is under budget by $175. I was recently underwriting a property that had that exact scenario, and so our plan was to come in and start raising rents at to the tune of about $175 to $200 per unit. Mm. We had a market survey. We've done an extensive review of the market. We believe those numbers to be accurate. But we also, when we did that, though, we also had to look at, as we were doing performing due diligence, was can the current residents afford a $200 increase?
Right.
Or are we going to drive turnover? In our industry, occupancy seems to be one of the key indicators. People do not want to fall below 94%, 92%,
right,
or whatever benchmark they've set, even if they're leaving money on the table via, a loss to lease or a market rent that's not being pushed. So it's important for the manager to understand what is the true market rent in that submarket. Give you an example. I had a property that I repositioned about 4 years ago, and it was a major rehab. We took a D property, and being generous on that, and we turned it into a B property. We spent about $20,000 per unit on the rehab. So what is the market rent for that? We had an idea. We thought what we could get to it, but it was such a major change that what we did was we started at our starting point. We said it's going to start out at $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. We leased two, and I raised the rents $25. Leased two at that level, raised the rents $25. Leased two more, raised the rents $25. Don't lease anything, back it up $25. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we determined what the market rent was on that particular property. But focusing on the various rental income line items, having an action plan and knowing what you're going to do is really important for managers to think like an owner.
In your scenario that you were talking about at the beginning of the segment, where you said you entered into the ownership, bought your first property in 2009, just for clarification of our listeners, because they may not all be from this area, we're talking about the Houston, Texas market, And in 2009 was when the market was going through kind of some turmoil from the recession, and there was a lot of properties available. And then when you said the market's tightened up, and now you're the margins aren't as good, that's because now it's no longer the buyer's market that it was back in 2009 when you started buying. Is that correct? I just want to make sure our listeners understand.
You are spot on. It was a different scenario in 2009. And I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. One of the properties that we bought in early 2009 was we got because I answered the phone on Christmas Eve when the broker called around. I know this broker. I've known him for 20 years. I know I was not the first guy at the top of his call list.
Right.
You know, it's like the, I know I was further down there. What's the old TV show with the judge who got appointed the judge?
Right.
And so it was kind of the same thing, but we wound up buying this because nobody else or very few people were actually buying properties. So It was a complete buyer's market.
Right.
And over the years, that's changed. You're right, Paul. Today it is a seller's market. And matter of fact, sold several properties in 2017, that same group of properties that I bought in 2009, 2010, have all been sold. And we sold those in late 2017 because of the strong market and able to maximize our, the capital and extract the capital out of the investment.
So when we're talking about, thinking like an owner, and obviously owner has goals for rent. And if people are buying in today's market for cash flow because the margins are, are thin, what happens, how do you think like an owner to increase that NOI so when you do want to put it on the market with a cap rate, you've increased the value enough to make a healthy profit? What are some of the things you can do from that standpoint? That deals obviously some with the rent, but it also has to deal with some of the expenses too.
Operating expenses do have to be kept in check, and you want to make sure that we are operating the property as efficiently as possible. One of the challenges that we as owners face today is property taxes.
Sure.
And don't want to spend a lot of time on it because that is what it is. Mm-hmm. From a property management perspective, if your client is from out of state or out of the country, make sure you understand what the property tax system is within Texas and be able to provide them insight into that and ways that you can potentially lower the gross assessment that you just received.
Right.
The next highest one, operating expense usually is payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have the right number of people? And I don't always mean work with less people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, do we have the right amount of people to produce a product in, make readies done so that we can meet the lower the vacancy loss, turn units quicker, et cetera.
Right. Okay. We're going to be back with more on thinking like a multifamily owner after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of thinking like an owner. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is John Ridgway, owner and president of Celtic Realty Advisors. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. John, in the last segment, we were kind of touching on the things that affect the NOI, and when you're in a fee-managed situation, you have to think like the owner. What are the things that help to drive, as far as expense-wise, making sure that when the property, it's time to market the property, that the owner's going to get a good return, because they're in it for that as well as cash flow. So let's touch on some of the other things that you think would be important for someone to understand how the owner thinks when it comes to those expenses.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned as you were talking about who the sponsors are of your show, and water conservation is was in that sponsorship list.
Right.
And so managing expenses, particularly utilities, is an area that requires an attention to detail and a systematic method of making sure that the utilities that are used are as minimal as possible. Water is an area, and water consumption on a property that is usually a big ticket item. Water in the city of Houston is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They charge a lot for it. They're very proud of their water and sewer services. And so it's but we have to have it. It's
sure.
It's not an expense that we can eliminate. So as managers, we have to look at how can I minimize the consumption of water with my residents. And a lot of times what we see is what we call a RUBS mm-hmm. system, where we're actually billing back to the resident, which I think in part helps on the income side. I don't personally think that it has helped conservation-wise as much as we would have thought it would, or had hoped that
right.
it would over the last 10 years. So my recommendation on when it comes to water is utilize a water conservation company, or use parts that are that the own maintenance guys install that are that help conserve water. I will say right off that I have never seen an in-house program
mm-hmm.
work as efficiently and effectively as utilizing a contractor for that task.
Right.
And so we're going to want to be looking at water leaks, whether it's on the property, monitoring the bill.
Mm-hmm.
How many times that we get the bill in, does the manager, and usually this is handled on site, especially in a fee-managed environment rather than one person at the corporate office, create a spreadsheet. What was the consumption of each meter last month versus this month, and get a trailing 12, get a historical view of that. Mm-hmm. And when you see deviations to that, then it's important to act immediately. Let's find out, you know, what section does that particular meter serve? What can we go after? You know, I need to start looking in this area, sure, of the property for a leak.
Well, you know, last segment you touched on the property tax assessments, and we're talking right now about utilities. I think there's a misconception amongst some people that, well, it's property taxes, there's really not a lot you can do about it. It's utilities, there's not a lot you can do about it. Obviously, there are opportunities for lowering property taxes if you work with some of the companies that are out there that will fight that battle for you, as well as on the utility side. You can't do anything about the utility rate, but you can certainly, as you said, do some conservation. I know that the two companies that are sponsors, both EconServe and WaterLogic, EconServe saves about 40% to 60% of the financial expense each year on a property for water and sewer. And then WaterLogic, who is involved in the irrigation, water conservation for irrigation systems, they save about 40%. So if you can cut back on consumption, just like if you can on your energy bill, you've got a way to increase that NOI.
You are spot on. And, you know, one of the things is in our industry is that when we deal with operating expenses, a lot of companies and a lot of owners have two different types of operating expenses: controllable expenses, mm-hmm, and non-controllable expenses. Property taxes, tax or insurance, and utilities a lot of times fall and are coded to this non-controllable.
Right.
And just by its name, what happens? Managers say, I can't control it. I'm
right.
not even going to look at it.
Right.
And like you just said, you can control certain aspects of it. You're going to have a water bill every month. Yes. You're going to pay a water bill every month. But the on-site team has an impact on how much of those utilities, what the consumption is, and is a, you know, it's a great place to start. Because like you said, I mean, these are big expense numbers. Combined with managed properly, you can have huge reductions in the actual costs of those.
Yeah, and you had mentioned the RUBS, the programs that a lot of properties have where they're charging their residents for utilities. I know that we've had some guests on the show that have talked about the fact that when they do conservation on their properties, that yes, the benefit a lot of the times goes to that resident, but they would much prefer to be able to lower the utility cost to the resident so they have the opportunity to increase the rent, because I'd rather see the revenue on the rent side than on the utility reimbursement side. I don't know if that's the way owners think, but
it is. And it is the way that owners think, and they do look at cause and effect. And so anything that you can do to increase or to decrease one aspect of a resident's rent. And one thing that I will say, I think that residents look at their out-of-pocket each month,
mm-hmm,
and they don't break it down as
rent
versus
yeah.
utilities as much as we do
yeah.
on the management or ownership side. And so they look at it as, hey, I'm out of pocket $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And so there are some advantages to ownership, to having that be rent money versus utility money. So mm-hmm. like the example that you just gave, if I can lower their water bill by $20 and then hit them with a $20 increase on rent at the next go around, is more valuable to
yes.
me as an owner.
And I think one of the things when it comes to property taxes, utilities, as you said, that they oftentimes fall under the non-controllable expense section of a financial statement. We know that the utilities are not going to lower their rates. They're only going to increase them. As a matter of fact, the city of Houston increases water rates every April 1st. And we know that the tax the people that are doing the tax assessor, the board, it generally doesn't lower that property tax assessment. You have a chance to lower it by fighting it, but they're going to come to you probably every so often with an increase in it. And so, you know, if you're thinking like an owner, obviously you want to think, how can I be the most efficient on my property to make sure that these non-controllable expenses have some controllable aspects to them?
I have a saying that I manage, you know, that I try to manage by, and that's, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
Yeah.
And so I break down a lot of the operating expenses down into, you know, how much per unit, how much per vacant unit, you know, different measurements. And so what you are talking about falls under that. You know, you mentioned property taxes, and you're right. Most third-party management companies, they have no control over that. But what they do have control over is advising their client, mm-hmm. and being on top of what the rates are, what the time periods are, so that the client can make better decisions. And whether that's referring them to a third-party provider that fights property tax assessments on the owner's behalf. I think that there are actions that a manager can take that will have them thinking like an owner.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back after these messages with our fourth and final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. I'm Paul Marks, and with me in the studio is John Ridgway, owner and president of Celtic Realty Advisors. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of thinking like a multifamily owner. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is John Ridgway, owner and president of Celtic Realty Advisors. John, early on in one of the previous episodes, you mentioned that you, after a long career in fee management, working for large companies, that you moved into where you owned your first property, and you said that that was an eye-opener for you. I'm sure our listeners would like to know some of the things that, examples of the things that were eye-openers and what they should be looking for, because that would obviously tell them how to think like an owner.
The first thing that I would tell anyone that works for a large company is be very nice and appreciative to kind of what I call the back office people who put the who open your bank accounts for you, who do things like set up some of the vendors, such as resident screening. A real quick story, when I bought my first property, so I've gone from managing many thousand units to one 256 unit property, and we finally get it closed, take over, and I call my contact at a resident screening company, and it was said, "Hey, I need you to set us up. You know, just flip the switch, right. Start the process." And she's like, "It doesn't work that way." And it's about a 3-week process. Oh. Yeah, it's just, you know, they had to come to the office, inspect it, things like that. So there were a lot of areas that were that are different, and that I shouldn't say they're different, because they go through it. Having worked for large companies, it's, you know, we had somebody that did that. And right. So one of the transitions into ownership is, I remember at that process, my wife was like, you know, "Can you call somebody?" And I'm like, who? It's me and you, and that's it. Right. That's all there is in this process. So if you do venture out on your own and want to become an owner, there are things that we take for granted in the industry that are not the same.
Sure.
But going on to your question, what the eye-opener for me was the importance of understanding what you're buying, understanding what the costs are, and the importance of due diligence. Every deal is really made on the acquisition, at the time of acquisition, and your profitability and ability to, you know, provide the returns that that you're seeking or have promised your investors. And so, you know, as you're walking units, to think like an owner is, how much is it really going to cost me to turn this particular unit? During due diligence, I always use, when we're walking units, is what would it cost me to turn this unit if this resident moved out today? Mm-hmm. And I have to be very realistic about that, because a lot of times that all interacts with the rental rates. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I'm going to raise rents $100. Well, is that raising rents $100 contingent upon putting in granite countertops,
right,
faux wood floors, those types of those types of things? I have on the exterior is, you know, realistically looking at what is the amount of wood that needs to be replaced. That's another area where it historically falls short when you're mm-hmm. running, when you're looking at due diligence, you know, which roofs need to be replaced. One of the eye openers for me is how important those numbers really are to the success of the deal. And when I was on the fee management side, we would be doing due diligence. I don't think that we always really had a full understanding of the impact of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean that we didn't identify carpets, because we did, but not really understanding the full impact on the investment itself.
Yeah, and I think, our listeners have heard this story before, and I'm not sure if this is thinking like an owner, but we were talking about due diligence on an episode several months ago, and someone said one of the things that was an eye-opener for them is they did not consider pest control when they were doing their due diligence. And after the owner purchased the property and they took over managing it, they realized they had a issue in their attics of the couple of the buildings with bats, and that these were bats that were protected species, that they had to hire a specialist to come in, capture the bats, and then relocate them somewhere. And it was about a $20,000 expense that they had not counted on as part of, because they didn't pick it up in their due diligence. So thoroughness, I would imagine, is trying to uncover every potential issue, like you said, to be as thorough as you possibly can. What is it, as far as due diligence goes, back when you first got into the business, when the market was more of a buyer's market than it is today, you probably could do the due diligence every week. I mean, there was a lot of properties that were out there for sale. Now there's not as many. Does that give you a chance to be more thorough because you're not having to cover as much ground?
It does. There was also, when you look back to 2008, 2009, 2010, a lot of the properties were distressed, meaning that we knew they didn't have good residents in them. Their occupancy was very low. So we were walking as many, if not more, vacants as we were occupied. Mm-hmm. Vacant units are easier to walk.
Right.
And there wasn't as much emphasis, you know, the pricing at that point in time was such that you didn't have to be as exact as you are today because there was more room in the margins. We understood that a lot of the tenants that were there, especially on C and D product, was, you know, may or may not stay, and that's okay. Where today, it does matter. And with the margins being thinner, it is important to, frankly, you have to pay more attention not only to the physical aspects of the due diligence, but also what I call the financial aspects of it. I mentioned earlier about looking at the financial credibility of who lives there.
Right.
And so if part of the plan is to have a increase in rents, can the people that live there today afford that increase, or are they going to be turning over?
Yeah.
One of the things that I do see and that we really have to avoid against is making assumptions such as, well, their rents are $100 under market. I'm going to upgrade the units, and then I'm going to increase the rents $100, and I'm still going to maintain a 45% annualized turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you're back, you know, comparing to budget, and 6 months later, you're having a conversation with the owner of, wow, we're three times over budget on turnover cost.
Right.
Because the assumptions didn't follow all the way through.
Right, right. Let's talk for about the next minute and a half about the different types of owners that you could possibly deal with. Obviously, you have owners that could be in-town owners in the same market. They have a good understanding of the market. You have out-of-town owners. You have overseas owners. You have institutional owners.
Mm-hmm.
Just touch briefly on a little bit of those and where you see strong points and weaknesses that people need to concentrate on.
Well, I think it's important to understand what each owner or different owner type is looking for. I'm what's considered in the business an IRO, independent rental owner. Mm-hmm. I've owned a few properties. I put deals together. While I have investors, I deal directly with the investors. I operate the property management company. I'm very hands-on. So
right.
as an IRO. I also like to, properties that I target for acquisition are properties that might be too small for some of the institutional owners mm-hmm. that are out there. And so institutional would be the next one. That's going to be things like insurance companies, Wall Street, that have large amounts of cash to invest. They will a lot of times partner with the major management companies, put things together. And then you have, again, it kind of individual or family offices mm-hmm. that make these investments at a higher level than I do.
You know, right.
A lot of it that I say is it's just how many zeros
are
behind it. Yeah, we all do the same thing. We're all looking for the same thing. It's just they have more zeros behind their numbers than I do on mine.
Well, in our last couple of minutes, I always ask our guests, how did you get in the business? And then also tell us a little bit about Celtic and what you're looking for.
Yeah, so I actually started in the business in the mid-'80s as a leasing consultant in Dallas. I was a contractor. We were cleaning and painting units, and I got hired by one of my clients, and like I said, as a leasing agent. And then over the next 30 years, moved up to a regional vice president position with a couple of large management companies throughout my career. So I've seen everything from, you know, the turnkey side of the business, on-site leasing, you know, and moving up through the ranks. The short story is that as a regional vice president, I had to sit through a bunch of the 401k meetings for all the employees, speed of the leader, you know, so I sat through eight of them in one day as we were cycling employees in and out, and realized that I could not achieve my personal financial goals as an employee. Great company, great people, paid me well. And so I started looking for, you know, how do I get onto the ownership side? And so in late 2008, left, left a corporate job to go to buy one property with a group of investors. And so that my divergent was, you know, 10, 11 years ago,
right,
moving from corporate America into, you know, an IRO.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Celtic and what do you guys specialize in, and what do you need?
So Celtic is a small company that I formed to manage the assets that I have an ownership interest in. Since that time, I've branched out into fee management. I have a couple of very select clients that I manage for. And, you know, as with large or small, my biggest challenge in today's environment is finding qualified people to staff the properties with.
And if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do it?
My email address is jwr@cratx.net, and my direct line is 832-573-6815.
All right, John, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hopefully our listeners learned as much as I did. We're certainly going to have you back on again in the future for a future episode. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.